Podcasting from the Deep Sage 9 Observatory in the high desert near Taos, New Mexico, this is the Deep Sage 9 Starcast. Welcome to the inaugural episode for the week of Sunday, April 20th, 2025. I'm your host, Jay Schaefer. Let's take a look at the astro events calendar for the week. As far as space weather goes, the chance for auroras over the next 48 hours is forecast to be low, around 5% for the mid-latitudes and about 15% for the upper latitudes. The Sun does have a large coronal hole that is sending solar wind toward the Earth, and that could arrive here on Monday or Tuesday, and this might cause minor to moderate geomagnetic storms. Tonight is the last quarter moon, and it will be rising around 2:11 daylight time. Monday night, the 21st, and Tuesday, the 22nd, the Lyrid meteor shower will peak. We might see 10 to 15 Lyrids per hour. Look for the bright star Vega in the constellation Lyra. It will rise above the horizon in the northeast around 9 or 10 p.m. Your best time for a meteor watch will be from midnight or 1 a.m. until the moon rises around 3 or 3:30 a.m., daylight savings time. Your best bet for catching the Lyrid meteor shower might be Tuesday night, as the moon will rise even later. Thursday the 24th and Friday the 25th, you can look east just before dawn and see the crescent moon and Venus and Saturn close together. And then next Sunday is the new moon, which means if you have clear, dark skies, that it'll be perfect night for observing the Milky Way, which will be rising around midnight. That's our calendar for the week. Let's take a look at some astro news. This week is International Dark Sky Week. Celebrate dark skies and limit light pollution by raising awareness during International Dark Sky Week, April 21st to 28th. You can find out more about dark skies and why they're important at darksky.org. The space science community is deeply concerned after recent reports that NASA's budget could be cut in half. The prospect that NASA's space science budget could face major cuts is prompting worried feedback. This is due to the Office of Management and Budget draft budget called the Passback to the Space Agency. The OMB Passback reportedly cuts the science budget by 47% and cuts a number of projects such as the Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope, the Da Vinci mission to Venus, and the Space Agency's Mars Sample Return mission. It may also close down NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland, which employs 10,000 people. Is the new comet Swan disintegrating? There's been a new comet speeding toward the sun, visible with binoculars in the morning sky. But recent reports are that the comet, C2025 F2 Swan, might be breaking up as it nears the sun. Over the last few days, observers have seen the new comet fading and appears to have lost its tail. Although further observations may confirm if the comet has disintegrated, right now, it's not looking good. Speaking of comets, did you know that comets are related to meteor showers? So what exactly are meteor showers? In today's Astro 101 segment, we're talking about those fleeting flashes of light that often catch our eye, shooting stars or meteors. These dazzling streaks are actually tiny bits of space rock. Think dust and sand-sized particles called meteors. What you're seeing is their dramatic final moments as they slam into the Earth's upper atmosphere at incredible speeds, often exceeding 100,000 kilometers per hour. Of course, on any typical dark night, you might see a few meteors, but things get really exciting when Earth travels through the trails of dusty leftovers from comets' tails and asteroids. When that happens, we get a meteor shower. Imagine the Earth plowing through cosmic crumbs. The result is a spectacular increase in the number of meteors that we see. And these meteor showers are predictable. Because Earth orbits the Sun, we pass through the same debris fields about the same time each year. That's why you might hear of the Perseids in August or the Geminids in December, or this week's Lyrids here in April. These showers even have a special naming system. They're named after the constellations where the meteors seem to originate, a point we call the radiant. For example, this week's the meteors will appear to come from the constellation Lyra. So if you know the name of the meteor shower, take away the id at the end, and you'll know what constellation to look toward. It's like if you traced all the meteors backward, their paths would converge on that constellation. Want to catch a meteor shower yourself? All you need is your eyes, warm clothes, a little patience, and a clear dark sky. I like to lay out on a chaise lounge or hammock. You'll have to stay up late or wake up early, though. The best time to look is usually between midnight and dawn. Think about it. At that time, you're on the side of the Earth that's facing toward its orbit, heading right into that cosmic debris, sort of like bugs on a windshield. A lot of people call meteors meteorites. So what's the difference between a meteor and a meteorite? Well, when they're still floating in space, it's called a meteoroid. And in that fiery moment when they burns up in the atmosphere, that's a meteor. Really bright meteors are called fireballs, or if they explode in the atmosphere, they're called bolides. And if any part of it survives that intense journey and actually lands on Earth, well then, that's a meteorite. Coming up next in Astro Tips, we're diving into the world of astronomy apps for your phone or tablet. Whether you're just starting your stargazing journey or you're a seasoned astronomer, there are some fantastic and affordable apps out there to help you explore the cosmos. One app that consistently impresses me is StarWalk 2. It's as simple as launching the app and pointing your device toward the sky. Instantly, it identifies the stars, planets, and other celestial objects you're viewing. It's packed with useful features, from showing you what's visible in the night sky tonight, to providing informative pop-ups about objects that you're observing. It even boasts an augmented reality mode that overlays a star map onto your device's camera view. Pretty cool. There are several other similar apps that can guide you through the constellations, including Sky Safari, Star Rover, and Stellarium. Many of these offer a free version to get you started, with options for in-app purchases and more comprehensive pro versions for those looking for advanced features. I encourage you to explore a few and find the ones that best suit your interest. Beyond these planetarium-style apps, there's also a category of apps to help you capture the beauty of the night sky with your phone or device's camera. Nightcap is my personal favorite in this realm. Leveraging these apps is a brilliant way to begin your adventure in exploring the wonders of the night sky. I want to thank all my listeners for checking out this inaugural podcast. Please comment, like, and subscribe, and let me know what you'd like to hear more about. You can also check out my Skylapser.com website and Facebook page for live camera views from the DS9 Observatory, astrophotos, time lapses, and additional content. The intro music is Fanfare for Space by Kevin MacLeod from the YouTube Audio Library. From the Deep Sage 9 Observatory, this is Jay Schaefer wishing you all clear skies.